This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
Manipulating oil prices is easier said than done. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio. OPEC is scheduled to meet in Vienna tomorrow. Oil prices have been slipping these past few months, and its members will discuss cutting production of oil to pump those prices up. At the recent G20 meeting, Russia and Saudi Arabia suggested they were willing to work together to do this, but actually finding agreement between oil producers is notoriously difficult, Marketplace's Jed Kim reports.
When global oil prices collapsed a few years ago, OPEC and other nations came to an agreement to cut production and prices went up. They'd love to see prices rise again, but it's no longer a triage situation. Pavel Molchanov is with Raymond James.
2 years ago, the global oil market was unambiguously oversupplied. That is not the case any longer. In fact, right now, the global oil market is, broadly speaking, balanced.
Russia isn't in OPEC, but it's a top producer and could benefit from price hikes. Recently, though, it signaled that it didn't want to cut too deeply. And Saudi Arabia may be limited in what it can do. It's walking a political tightrope with the U.S. and President Trump. Jason Bordoff directs Columbia University's Center on Global Energy Policy.
There's a concern among some that you risk invoking Trump's ire if you cut production and try to push up prices now, given that he's tweeted he'd like to see the opposite.
Meanwhile, U.S. oil production is booming. In September, drillers pumped close to 11.5 million barrels a day, a 20% increase over last September. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
The post office has not been setting prices for package delivery with profitability in mind. That's the word from the Treasury Department in a new report. The Trump administration has some suggestions. Marketplace's Mariel Segarra is following this. Mariel, first, this report was written for a reason. What was that?
The post office has had some financial trouble in recent years. You know, it's seen a big drop in mail volume and it's losing billions of dollars a year. So in April, the president asked the Treasury Department to look into this and come up with a plan. That's this report.
So what are the main ideas?
One is to raise prices, including what the Postal Service charges Amazon and other retailers to deliver their packages. Those rates aren't public, but the president has complained that they're too low. The report also says the USPS should have the option to deliver mail less frequently, like maybe 5 days a week instead of six. That would require Congress to pass a law. And there's other stuff in the report, too, like reforming the pension system for federal employees, which includes postal workers. So increasing contributions from workers and also moving away from plans where you guarantee them a certain payout in retirement. One thing to note, earlier this year, the president said he wanted to privatize the post office, but the report doesn't suggest that.
Marketplace's Mariel Segarra, thank you.
Thanks.
And let's do the numbers. The FTSE in London is down 1.2%. Markets in the U.S. are closed in observance of President George H.W. Bush's funeral. They closed yesterday down 3-4%.
As a nonprofit news organization, Marketplace is on a mission that drives what we do every day to increase the economic intelligence of all of us. But we can't do it alone. Become a Marketplace investor today in whatever amount you choose, and your donation will go twice as far, thanks to a dollar-for-dollar match from the Candida Fund. Donate today at Marketplace.org.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
In the Me Too era, workplaces have had to rethink how they deal with sexual harassment, and employees, particularly men, have had to question and reevaluate what is appropriate in the workplace and what is not. That is no less true on Wall Street. But some efforts to avoid accusations of sexual harassment may harm women in a different way. Jillian Tan is a senior reporter for Bloomberg and has written about this. Good morning.
Morning. Thanks for having me.
So what are some of the practices you've discovered in your interviews with Wall Street executives?
Yeah, so there's a bunch of things men are doing to pare back their interactions with women on Wall Street, from not having dinner with female colleagues, often below a certain age. One man we spoke to doesn't have dinner with anyone below the age of 35. Others are choosing not to sit next to their female colleagues on flights. And then others are just simply avoiding meetings in windowless rooms. And in New York, a lot of offices have glass doors, and if those types of rooms aren't available, people are sort of waiting until those rooms are available.
Why such an intense response?
Men are sort of not wanting to be accused of something they didn't do. Maybe it's a paranoia or a fear that is potentially unsubstantiated, because what we've learned is that I think something like 2% of all sort of accusations are false. So it's just a very mixed reaction that I guess should prove not to maybe be as necessary as is the case.
Well, how widespread do you think this approach is?
From the feedback we're receiving, the approach is huge. We've spoken to so many men who sort of are telling us, you know, even last week, they were having exactly the same conversation about how they've changed their behavior. Others are already telling me that they're bringing third parties to meetings, sort of to act as witnesses.
Well, the assumed benefit is, of course, avoiding any appearance of impropriety. It's also to create spaces where women don't feel uncomfortable. But you're right, there's a very real cost to this.
Yeah, one main thing is a lot of senior men in the industry have in the past been mentors to women. And through this changing behavior, a lot of them are sort of stepping back their willingness to mentor women and bring them up through the ranks. And as one senior female we spoke to said, her career wouldn't be where it is without a man sort of taking interest in her career and sort of pulling her up. And her point was very real and very true. There aren't enough senior women to lift all the junior women. So if men really step back their interactions, you know, the progress of women in the industry is just going to maybe even regress.
Is there not some other option, some other way of responding to this issue?
One man we spoke to just said, don't be a jerk. It's very easy to just behave yourself with colleagues, with clients, in any sort of professional format.
Jillian Tan is a senior reporter for Bloomberg. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.